You just heard the song Cookie Scene from the Go Team. Excellent flute playing, yep, as mentioned earlier. And I think the flute is the new saxophone of our time.
Yeah, and that song also features hip-hop MC Indigo Yaj spitting rhymes. On to our first story tonight. You know, in the recovery phase of MCO, we're seeing more avenues for social events being relaxed and reopened. And one thing that we've been following quite closely here on The Pulse is the permission for live gigs. We can potentially watch bands again, albeit with a very strict physical distancing SOP. But fact of the matter is, live music is going to be back.
Thankfully.
Yes, at least from the 1st of July onwards. We haven't seen any flyers out yet, but it's allowed, right? So I have actually seen a few organizers in town already putting out promos for shows in the upcoming months. Mm. And countries like New Zealand and also some parts of Europe have gone ahead with shows. We're discussing tonight, as we have been discussing in the last 2 to 3 months, would you go to a local music event, Auth?
I've been seeing lots of music events that kept the number of attendees to maybe about 20 to 30.
Yeah.
I'm still not that comfortable going yet, but I think it's only a matter of time. Maybe even next week I'll go to a show.
Yeah, you know, because we're not talking festivals here. We're talking a closed venue like the B, like
small gigs.
You know, Angkasa Space, Atas in KJ, and many other smaller capacity venues in KL, which are actually my favourite places to catch a gig. And speaking of organising shows and festivals, we're going to speak to Penang's jazz ambassador, Mr. Paul Augustine. He's the founder and director of the Penang Island Jazz Festival and also the excellently curated Penang House of Music. We're going to get his thoughts on the prospects of having live music events coming back. Actually, Paul spoke with us earlier today on the Daily Digest. So we have more from the jazz man in Penang. Paul, thank you for joining us on the show tonight. You know, I know that you were playing in live bands for the longest time before moving into management side of things. Now, Paul, with the permission for music events to go on, this must be good for live music industry, right?
Well, I feel for the industry because I was a live musician. I was a performing musician for many years, you know. In our days, they call us band boys. Or, you know, even though it's open, it's going to be very, very difficult and very different. Because if you have 100 people in a club, now I think they only allow about 1/3 of it, which is 30%.
Yep.
And the clubs are businesses or lounges or whatever businesses. So that means you have to sustain your staff. You have overheads to pay. And if I have a musician in my place, a musician is usually to attract more people. But I can only put 30 people. So what do I do? You know, even if people do go out, people are careful. And even when you do a live show, so you become careful. You can promote it as much as you like, but people, whether they want to come, they always think, I want to see, but I'm scared. You know, it's not the money. I can pay the money, but I'm scared. Yeah. What if something happens to me? Mm. And it's about your life. You see, it's not something like, okay, I go down there and I break my head. No, you lose your life. You know, so you think about that. And it's going to take some time for people to get. Maybe once we get the vaccine ready, and then people, it will help to at least help people to think a bit more. And then after even the vaccine comes out, and then now you've got new diseases coming out and all that. It's like, what is this like? How can I, you know, this one, and then you've got the other one. You've got Impinan, you've got the chikungunya, and then you've got the dengue, and you think all these things are coming out, you know? Mm.
So how then, Paul? I mean, having 1/3 capacity in a venue should be better than nothing, right? And musicians get to play and earn a living, and we are all slowly getting back the live shows. But what about the developments in Penang? What can you say about the community over there?
Yeah, when COVID hit the scene, COVID hit the scene, like it took away everything, like, you know?
Yeah.
And I think everything shut down. But luckily enough, I think in January this year, Penang formed something called the Persatuan for Music Pulau Pinang, you know, where they got all the musicians and they tried to put them together and all that. So when this hit the time, what they did was that they contacted everybody, the musicians, and says, listen, you know, anybody want to donate to a fund, tabung, you know? So that the lesser people who don't really have any fund money coming in and they need to get food and all that, they supported them. by giving them, you know, buying for them rice or coffee or tea or, you know, flour and all this kind of stuff. It was a coming up together of all the musicians. You know, I think it brought us closer together in a sense, you know.
That's excellent.
Yeah, you know, some good things have come out of it. Like, you know, of course you can't get a job, you can't do a lot of things, but you have time to reflect and think about what you want to do. You think about how to do certain things or come up with creativity or ideas that you want to put in.
That is really, really nice. So Paul, you were supposed to bring back the PIGF this year, but obviously the plans have derailed now. And I actually remember going to one edition of the festival and it had a very relaxed atmosphere. The festival grounds were spacious, punters listening to jazz on the beach, slouch on a beanbag. And, you know, surely these types of festivals would be in line with the SOP. And I think it could work in this new normal. We're not moshing or getting too close to each other. What do you think?
No, but if a lot of people come, then there's too many people. having said that, I think, you know, when you do festivals and all that, the more people come, the more money you make, and at least you cover yourself in terms of that.
Yep.
Festivals, especially jazz festivals, do not thrive on people coming, buying tickets. It's actually, without sponsorship, it's very, very difficult to put it on. Or support, you know, whether it's from the government or the corporate, you need money to do that. But once you start doing a festival, people are not, I don't think that people will not come in the near future as well. Mm. So even though we were supposed to restart our festival this year, we were looking at it and we're talking about it.
Yep.
And we were all already thinking about doing it differently, you know, and we have some ideas that we feel that if we get a chance to do it, I think it's going to be very different from what people see jazz is like. You know? I won't say anything yet, you know, but hopefully maybe next year we get a chance to do it. And, you know, when you do something like that, it's either you have to use your strengths or the strength of the place and whatever kind of budget you're working with, you know, and with some ideas that we like to try out, which will be interesting. The people who worked in the festival also do work in the Penang House of Music. Mm. So the reason why we didn't do it the last 2 years is very simple. It's because of money. You know, we didn't have enough funds to do what we wanted to do. And we had to decide we are doing the Penang House of Music and we're going to do the Penang Island Jazz Festival. There were two mountains that we had to climb. Which mountain would you take? So Penang House of Music is actually a daily thing which we have to carry on. And it's very important, we feel that, for the industry and also for heritage and for everything. So to put the jazz festival on hold was much easier because we did not say that we stopped it. We just put it on hold. You know, we can restart it again anytime we want because it belongs to us. And when the time is right, we will do it. But it's also given us an opportunity to take a breather and think about, okay, do we want to change things? Do we want to try something new? Or do we want to maintain what we want? So it's like, okay, let's think about it. How are we going to do it? You know? But it's affected the team. Like, everybody looks forward to it. And we've got people coming every year. They look forward to it. But it can't be helped, you know? It's all because of money.
Right. Money makes the world go round. And, you know, musicians need money to sustain too. And the music needs an audience to take it further. Now, Paul, any final thoughts on the comeback of live music?
The soul of a nation is the music. And if you take away the soul, then what's left? You know, what do? Everything is music. You wake up in the morning, you switch on the radio, it's music. And music motivates you when you're sad. You listen to sad songs. When you're happy, you listen to happy songs. And music takes you back to a certain point in time, you know? And you remember things. And without music, people don't realize. But for a musician, it's a lifelong journey. You start working and you strive to attain to be the best that you can. So it's not a daytime job. It's not 9 to 5 or, okay, I'll work until maybe 55, retire. You know, but it's a lifelong job. And people don't see the other side of it. You know, they don't say, ah, musician, you play guitar, sing song, make money. Yeah, but it takes hard work sometimes, you know, to learn things. If you do it wrong, people are quick to criticize, oh, this class no good, that class no good. But they don't realize the amount of work that goes into it. You know, some of them go for lessons, they pay for lessons, they buy books, they learn and all that. That people don't see. And that is very sad, you know.
That's right. Sad indeed. Some wise words there. Thank you so much, Paul Augustine, head honcho of Penang Island Jazz Festival and the Penang House of Music over in Georgetown, catching up with us tonight, sharing his thoughts on the state of affairs for live music. And always got to keep a lookout for the return of the Penang Island Jazz Festival next year. Always,
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, always a nice vibe down in Fringy, listening to different kinds of jazz over 3 days. What a vibe.
Yeah, I've been to 2 editions of the PIJF and I got to say, something about having a festival next to the beach that just hits different.
Yes, and I just remember just sitting on a beanbag watching live music. I never get that at a punk show, you know.
And it's a different kind of crowd where they very respectfully clap very politely for each artist, and that's just something refreshing. So if you've never been to a jazz festival before, PIJF, something you look forward to.
Yeah, and jazz fans follow SOP more than rock fans.
<I guess. laughs> Right after this, we'll be talking about the Rolling Stone 50 Greatest Bassists of All Time list that they just recently put up on their site. But before that, here's a song from 87-year-old country legend who just released his latest album called First Rose of Spring. When I read about this album, I thought that was a typo, but apparently not. This is album number 70 for him.
Wow, prolific.
Yeah. Here's the legend himself, Willie Nelson, I'll Break Out Again Tonight, which is apparently a song about someone escaping from prison to be with his loved one. Right here on The Pulse, BFM 89.9.